And help us, Lord, to apply these things to our own life. I feel that we're going through this information for a reason, and it's not to have more information, but Lord, it's to lead toward transformation. So help us, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so time management for painfully pooped out people or just people in general. Okay, a lot of times people are kind of going around. Hey, is there a way, because I know with some of my PowerPoint it's hard to see, is there a way that we can turn off some of the lights to
the switches up front?
The switches up front?
That helps.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The wrong lights.
Those are the wrong lights that I hit? Well, you know, I tried. All right. Next slide. Dave? All right. Go back a little bit. Pretend like you didn't see anything. All right. Three strategies for time management that we're talking about before Dave clicks that next one. Don't click it yet. What was the first strategy? Somebody remember?
Prioritize.
Okay. So bring that first one up, Dave. Prioritize. There are two time management principles that go along with that. Ponder the brevity of life often. What do we mean by that? This is it. Life is short. We're not in control of when we leave this earth. We don't know how much time we have, but time is ticking. And God wants us to be responsible with the time that He's given us. And so to help us prioritize is to remember that I don't know when my time is up. And I will answer to God. All of us will stand before Him, and we will have to give an account of how we spent our time, or how we wasted our time, or hopefully for you and for me, how we invested our time, which goes along with time management principle number two, and that is to prioritize the relationships of Jesus. Can someone tell me one of the three relationships of Jesus? His relationship with God, that was number one, okay? Mark 1:35. His relationship with other key believers, John 3:22, yeah.
And, the
and his relationship with unbelievers. When you look at the life of Jesus, he spent a lot of time with the disciples. When you look at the life of Jesus, he spent a lot of time with God the Father. Usually in the morning, it says that he got up very early in the morning, he prayed to God. But Jesus also spent a lot of time with unbelievers, okay? And so when we think of our own priority, and we think about prioritizing and managing our time well in a God-honoring way that's also for the good of other people, we must remember these two things as far as priority. Ponder the brevity of life often and prioritize the relationships of Jesus. All right. What was strategy number two? Somebody tell me. First, prioritize. Plan. Okay, go ahead. Plan. So we have to proactively schedule biblical priorities. What are the biblical priorities? Really, it's relationships. So that's where you start. And I've been thinking a lot about this, you guys, and so I'm going to give you an illustration, actually, of someone who isn't here, so they have no way to defend themselves. It's great. And you know who this person is. But we're gonna kind of plan out for his life, and he has no idea that we're going to do this today. But to proactively put those relationships into, I'm not going to say necessarily daily, because maybe daily you can't get to all three of those, but I would definitely say weekly, where you're giving yourself to those, and then including life, and then plan your ideal day. Are you going to always hit your ideal day?
No.
Every day you hit your ideal day. Wow, you're far ahead of me, that's for sure. Can somebody tell me strategy number three? It's in your notes, but I didn't put strategy number three, unfortunately.
Is that strategy?
What'd you say? Strategy?
Strategy.
Oh, maybe. That's not how I say it, but somebody know? It's in your notes there. Protect. That's it. So you can write your notes, strategy number three is actually protect. So once you prioritize, and then you begin to make that plan, now principles 5 through 10 is all about protecting that which we prioritize and plan, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today is time management principles 5 and 6. We want to protect those things. All right, next slide. Here it is. You got the guy protecting, I guess. I don't know. Blue belt or something. Protecting is the art and skill of pruning. It says there, once you have clarified God's priorities for your time and have planned them into your schedule, you must learn to protect the priorities that you've planned. Why is that significant? Protect it.
Well, you don't get out of plans.
Because why?
Well, you make a plan, and if you don't prioritize, then you get off on other things.
You can get off on other things, okay?
Something always comes up.
Something always comes up.
Yeah.
That will challenge that which you have prioritized and planned, right? So you have to have some sort of protection plan, correct? Okay? Anybody else? Yeah.
When you follow these strategies and you start walking with the Lord more closely, you're going to be under more attack from Satan. So he's going to every candle trying to destroy your plan and pull you away from God.
You guys ever have that happen to you about just anything with the Lord? Like, I'm going to start praying more, right? And then everything comes up that prevents you from getting to that planned prayer time, right? I'm going to start having my devotions at this time. Because why? Because this is a good time in my life. And then all of a sudden, everything starts attacking that, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys obviously know that there is an evil one who absolutely wants to destroy your time with God and what you have planned with him. Yeah. And then you do everything else?
I do.
Yeah.
My house is really clean.
Well, that's excellent. That's good. Okay, so that's actually really good that you guys recognize that. Recognize that if the Lord is speaking to you about how you're to invest your time in the near future, understand already that it's going to be challenged. There's going to be some obstacles that come up. So you have to mentally and spiritually, as he says, intentionally and proactively, you have to move toward that which God is convicting you to do. And you have to be committed to it. Okay? You have to be committed to it. Pastor Craig talked about being committed to a life of purity and kind of what that looks like in the sermon. I won't get into all of it, but you have to make that commitment in your heart first and in your mind. And that's kind of what this is talking about as well. This is a quote. My approach to time management begins with clarifying what matters most, so you can decide what to stop doing. Something has got to go. Comments of agreeing or disagreeing with that observation. Yeah.
What? I thought everybody was supposed to rest.
Do you agree or disagree with that
yes.
comment?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yes. Would you like to say something else about that?
Not at this
moment. Okay.
That mean Janet falls and breaks her arm, I tell her, wait until I finish reading the scripture before taking the hospital.
You can try that. Let me know how that goes for you. Yeah. What do you guys think? Is that right on? We don't have more time, remember? Yeah, Jeff.
Well, it's just common sense. There's only so much time in the day. Priorities take up so much time. Something else has to be cut out.
That's true. Now, I know that up here, but it's so interesting because when the urgent happens, you guys know how this goes. You fit the urgent in. Something else is going to have to go. You just don't know what that is at that point a lot of times because you don't plan for it, right? If you accept the urgent in, something else is going to have to go, but oftentimes you don't even dictate what's going out because you haven't really planned for that. You've accepted the urgent. Does that make sense? So something's going to have to go. But if you can protect it to a place where you're being very proactive and intentional, and you're sticking to your guns to a certain degree, you can be a lot better at allowing certain things in and then absolutely letting certain things go of your choice, okay? We're going to talk about some of those things with these time management principles in a second. Yeah?
Kind of coincides with what we learned about, or Andy Stanton was talking about, if you have a plan for giving, okay, then, and it's all prioritized, then somebody comes up and hits you with something emotional, you can say, no, I have a plan, mm-hmm. you know, so
and you don't have to feel bad about it.
You don't have to feel bad.
Because God has already directed you in the plan.
Generous person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, next slide. Okay, now, I don't know if you guys noticed this about this picture right here. Somebody see anything interesting about this picture right here? You can pick that up. What are they doing?
They're playing a game on their game thing.
They're playing a game on their game things. That's right. Got these three older gentlemen. They're really into their Xbox or whatever that control is. Anybody know what control that is? Nobody knows? Okay. Here it is. You cannot take on something new without deliberately deciding to discontinue something else. Kind of what we just talked about. So here it is. Time management principle number 5. Go for it, Dave. Is to say no to time stealers. We're going to talk about that. And that the thought is this. We must be intentional and proactive about dealing the death blow to the obvious time wasters in our lives. Proactive about dealing the death blow to the obvious time wasters in our lives. I want you guys to do something right now. I want you to think to yourself. Nobody say anything out loud. But I want you to think through your regular week or your regular month or your regular day. And I'm being very serious. I want you to think through something as part of that day or week that absolutely is a time waster. It is a time stealer. And I want you, if you're bold enough, to write it down. You don't have to share it with anybody. But write it down on your notes. Because I want you to see it. It's one thing to think it. It's another thing to actually see it. Now, if you're with your husband or your wife, you can talk about that later. You know, we don't want to cause any fights here. But here's an honest evaluation. We all have something, at least one thing in our life, that steals our time. That we just allow it to happen. And I think that there is some validity to redeeming the time and considering the thing that we're talking about today. So say no to time stealers. You can't say no to a time stealer unless you identify what it is to be able to say no to it. To begin practicing that on a regular basis. All right, next slide. All right, in your opinion, what are the 3 biggest time stealers in America today?
TV,
okay.
Internet,
okay. Phone, okay. Video games, okay.
Commuting,
all right.
Eating.
Napping.
Social media, napping. You know what's interesting about everything you guys are saying? These, for the most part, I don't know about video games, but for some of you maybe this is true, but those are all pretty much things that we need. Eating, everything that you guys kind of mentioned, I mean, those are things that we do need.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that, since most of those things we do need, but those are the things that can be that? Yeah.
What's interesting is a lot of the things we talked about, the internet, social media, our phones, were all things that were designed to save time, and they become the biggest stealer of our time because we're addicted to it.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Well, and when it comes to the internet, when I got my computer, I had told myself I will not touch it until I get done what I need to get done that day.
How are you doing with that?
I don't spend a lot of time.
That's good. That's very good. I would say you're one of the few. Take bigger bites. That's one way to do it. Yeah, June.
I think the issue is overindulgence. Even television is not. One episode of Dr. Phil is not long.
You would think.
But now we have a term called binge watching.
Mm-hmm.
Binge means you just watch an episode after episode after episode, and that's like part of our culture now is marathon watching.
Right. You guys are aware of binge watching, right? Where somebody picks up an entire season now. They'll watch the entire season in one sitting.
No.
Because, yeah, you can record. You have it all recorded. It's all there. You can watch 12 seasons in a row. You can watch it for 14 straight hours and get the whole year in. It's a wonderful thing. And I mean, younger people especially, they do that all the time. I'm not just picking on younger people, but that's kind of the thing. So, okay, anybody else? Any other comments? All right, pull it up, Dave. The average American adult watches television 34 hours per week. It's almost a full work week. 34 hours a week. In 2016, the average American adult averaged 10 hours, 39 minutes online per day. Now, you may say, well, my work, it demands me to be on the internet, because I hear a lot of people say this. True. That might be true for you, but that's not that statistic. So maybe if they are on the internet 8 hours for their job, that's still the average right there. So a lot of time dedicated to these things. And it's so interesting, in our world of the World Wide Web, it's the device that's supposed to be able to connect us, right? And yet I still find in my life today there is nothing better than face-to-face communication. It's just crazy. Yeah?
But you can go to a restaurant and there's a family having dinner, mm-hmm. and they're all like this, including mom and dad.
True.
And sometimes mom and dad are texting each other and they're across the table from each other.
That's very true. It's very, very true. Yeah, all these things are kind of pulling us away, right? It comes down to communication. It really does.
They don't know.
Communication.
Knows how to communicate.
Yeah, it's true. Anybody back there? Come on, comment? Yeah.
I gotta have a positive in here because I have grandkids and kids.
Absolutely.
Back in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And if I couldn't Facebook or talk back and forth, I would lose touch with them.
Absolutely. And see, but part of the priority of relationships is that would be a priority relationship. And if that's the way that you get to that priority relationship, obviously that's right in your schedule. We have a son serving in the Air Force in South Korea. And if it wasn't for FaceTime, we wouldn't be having those wonderful conversations kind of face screen to screen that we have. But it's a wonderful thing. And we really look forward to that time. So, again, on the positive, that there's absolutely some positives. It's the overuse of or the imbalance that we're talking about. But great point. Great point. Yeah?
Again, it just goes to how you're using it.
True.
Absolutely. With anything can be a tool, but anything can also be a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're referring to here is, people have spent 34 hours a week on television. If somebody watches television to watch a documentary to learn something, that may be healthy. But if they're just watching junk shows for 34 hours,
sure.
They're wasting their brain.
I think a lot of television watching, honestly, is just zoning out. I mean, not so much that you're not engaged in it. A lot of the guys are engaged in sports and different things. But, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit I've watched television, and I'm not really even watching it. I'm just zoned out. And that can be pretty dangerous as well. I'm online. I disciple with pastors and different guys online. And so I'm trying to make use of that web time. Am I always doing that on the web? Well, no. I'm wasting time too sometimes, and we're all guilty. So, it can go both ways. Yeah.
Well, one of the problems is both of those things are easy. So you have to make it more difficult to watch television or get on your computer. So, do away with your internet and go down and have a cup of coffee someplace where they have Wi-Fi.
Here's where I'll challenge that, although I think it's a fairly good point, but I'm going to speak this for me. You guys probably you're not like me at all, so that's good. I've done stuff like that, but then I will find out a way to go down to my free Wi-Fi and be down there as much as I can, else I can waste some time on it. That's just, I have what's called flesh in me. I don't know about what you guys got, but I'm going to find a way. You know what I mean? You ever seen the kid try to get the cookie in the cookie jar? You can push it in another place. That kid's going to try to find a way to get the cookie, right? So, although I appreciate those safeguards, and I think we have to have safeguards, mm-hmm. I just know for me, I'm going to find my way around safeguards sometimes. You know what I mean? So, but I appreciate that. We can try to make it harder for sure. All right, next one. So, in your notes there, stuff. The more you have, the more time you lose. You can agree or disagree, but when it comes to stuff, the more you have, the more time you lose. This is a garage filled with, I don't even know what, but stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? True or false? Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true. Why is it absolutely true?
Because you accumulate over time. Sometimes I spend more time looking for a tool or something like that than it actually, the time that I'm spending on the job because of organization, whatever mm-hmm. else. And just
okay. Oh. Okay.
Even though you can't have too many tools.
No, you can never have too many tools. You may not be able to find the tool that you want, but you can never have too many. Anybody else? Yeah, Craig.
If you have vehicles, there's maintenance involved. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the more vehicles you have, the more time it takes to take care of them. And I had another thought, but it left me.
When it comes back, let us know. Yes?
I'm a crafting person, so okay. I have beading and quilting oh, wow. And crocheting, and I want to do them all, but I don't, you know, what do I do right now? And so then I kind of spin my wheels just trying to decide what to
I don't understand, but I hear what you're saying. All right, so just something to consider. The more you have, the more time you lose. Now, you can disagree with that, but I think a majority of you would agree. But we want to apply things to our own lives, too. So it's always fun to apply it to our neighbor or our spouse or whatever, but thinking of you, thinking of yourself, think about that in relationship to time management. Okay, next one, Dave. Okay, if we don't learn to say no to time stealers, we allow our short lives to be eaten away by distractions. Can someone tell me what this flower is right here?
Dandelions.
Dandelions. Go ahead and bring up that next question, Dave. Okay, now, why is it a problem to have these flowers in your lawn?
Because they take over it.
Because they take over? What do they take over?
The lawn.
They spread and they fill the whole lawn.
Okay, they fill the whole lawn, okay, yeah?
They use up the energy so that it takes away from what you're trying to grow.
But look how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
You don't like all those little yellow flowers in your grass? You guys use stuff to kill them? Is that what you do? I haven't had a lawn for a while, which has actually been really nice. But
you can paint them green.
You can paint them green.
That's an idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. No, those will kill your lawn for sure, even though they are beautiful. All right, next one, Dave. What are the dandelions or the time stealers in your life that keep you from staying focused on those priorities? That's what I want you to think about. When it comes to spending time with God, when it comes to spending time with key believers and unbelievers, what are things that are in your life right now that are really actually stealing a lot of your time? Because like I said, we have three choices to time. We can waste it, we can spend it, or we can invest it. Okay? And so we can waste it. What in your life is in your life where it is a big waste of time? And if you were making a decision led by the Holy Spirit, what kinds of things need to be removed? Okay, kind of like those dandelions. All right, next one. All right, questions to consider. Go for it. What is the greatest time stealer in your life? Hopefully you've identified it. Next. What specific negative consequences can you expect if you continue to let this time stealer rule your life? Perhaps rule. So just, you can think about that, and how exactly do you plan to deal with it? Because if God's brought it to mind, and you're going to kind of think about it and say, you know, I do waste a lot of time, what do you think God wants you to do with that? I mean, do you think God wants you to continue to implement that into your life? I mean, I can't answer that, but it's something to at least to consider. All right, next one. Okay, this is a video that I put on, but it didn't work, so I'm just going to explain it to you. So there's this dad, and he asks his son here, who looks about, I don't know, 6 years old. He asks him, can you name for me some time management principles? I'm thinking, this kid knows this kind of stuff? Like, this is crazy. And he asks him, how many time management principles can you give us? And the kid goes like this. And I'm like, 10? He's going to give us 10 time management principles? And so the dad says, okay, go ahead and name all 10. And then he laughs and he says, oh, I only have one, basically. And he says, what's the one? And he said, no more Facebook. No more Facebook. And he starts dancing around. No more Facebook. No, that was the time management principle right there. Now, talk about that quickly. What do you think? Is it no more Facebook? Is that a good time management principle? Or what do you think he means by that, by even from his perspective, why would he say that? Okay. Okay, there's a possibility that his parents are on Facebook and not giving him time, so a priority relationship, okay? Somebody else? Potentially, right? Okay. Anybody else? A thought it was fascinating that someone his age would make that observation. Now, it could be from experience. Mm,
yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Anybody else?
Well, get rid of your cell phone.
Get rid of your cell phone. I'll pray about that. Yeah, I'll pray about that. All right, next one. All right. Protect the art and skill of pruning. Okay. Here's number 6. Say no to time stealers, but say no to good things. Say no to good things? We're going to look at a verse here in just a minute.
No.
Because there are so many good things for us to do, we must be intentional and proactive about doing that which is God's best for us. It's going to get actually really interesting as we get into this a little bit. Would you agree that there are a lot of good things that we could do? Yeah? Okay. So how do you determine that which you should do and that which you shouldn't do? All right, next one. This quote, saying no is not just a good idea, it is an absolute necessity. If there are 100 good things to do, and you can only do 10 of them, you will have to say no 90 times. It almost seems like wrong to say no that many times, does it not? You're just a no negative person, right? But actually, no is a form of protection, saying no to time stealers and saying no to good things. Can someone give me an illustration of what it would look like to say no to a good thing? Dave.
I'm in with real estate. I say no all the time to people that, you know, so that I can protect one client in the time that I've already established with them.
Okay.
And you have to say no to another person, because if you say yes to two, then both fail.
Okay. All right. Good illustration. Anybody else? Yeah.
My senior year of college, I was offered the opportunity to do kind of a drama team that would take up my weekend. Actually an overnight thing, and it would take up a lot of time, but as a senior, I was going to be an RA. I was taking my extra classes, teaching 1-3, and I would have a bunch of other things going, so I had to say no, because it would just take up too much time and take away from the relationship of being an RA and being with the girls in my section. Hmm.
So. Sounds like a tough decision, but good one. Yeah.
A lot of times you get a call, somebody showing me something, and the first thing you try to do is
and hang up on them, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Very good. All right, go ahead, Dave, next one. Okay, here's the it says, beware of the first spiritual flaw. This is very true, by the way. Go ahead, Dave. It is God loves you and people have a wonderful plan for your life. That is so true, okay? A lot of times, here's the difference. When you start asking God, God, how do you want us or me to live my life? How do you want me to manage the time that you've given me? Oftentimes, the things that God has will maybe look different than what other people desire for you. And you have to make a decision. I either need to do it God's way, or I need to be a people pleaser, or not regard what God would have for me. Okay? Next one, Dave. You cannot protect your priorities unless you learn to decline tactfully but firmly every request that does not contribute to the achievement of your goals. So if you're going to implement these relationships and give priority to them, there are other things that are going to be urgent. There are other things that are going to come in and kind of maybe not directly attack it, but at least challenge it. And you're going to have to be a person, maybe you don't like to say no. There are some very good yes people all the time. But you're going to have to learn to say no, and it's not a bad thing. That's the whole thing that we're talking about, is it's not a guilt thing. Yeah?
Just as you're on this section, what keeps going through my mind is, I need to say no, but it's almost like you have to go underneath that thing and say why. Why am I doing that? Why am I spending so much time watching TV? Why am I eating so much? Why am I doing this or that? And for me, why I watch a lot of TV is typically to fill a hole that I have. It can be laziness, or it can be to escape, because real people are
Second reference, honey, to Dr.
That's my dandelion.
That's your dandelion. You know who we meet with every day. Okay? What do you think? Everybody hear what she said? We got to get to why are we consumed with TV watching? What's behind that? And you know what I think is fair is I think God wants to help us. And so we need to run to God and ask Him, Lord, if I don't know, can you reveal to me why it is that I go to this? Now, apparently, if June's admitting publicly that, she already understands why. That's a good place to start. But you have to be proactive beyond that, obviously. But yeah, you can't just say no. I agree. It's good to just say no, but you have to know what's behind that as well. K-N-O-W behind that, and that's good. All right, next one. And there's speaking of Nancy Reagan with the just say no right there. I found that. Jesus said no to good ministry opportunities. Bring up that verse. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. We're going to read verses 35 through 38. And if I can have a reader read that for me, nice and loud. Any volunteers to read? Mark 1:30. Yeah, go ahead in the back there. 1:35 through 38. Nice and loud.
Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth."
So, Jesus went away. He went to pray, and all these people came to him. Okay? You might say that's a ministry opportunity. So they're looking for him. They find him, and he says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." What do you think? Jesus had a ministry opportunity right in front of him, and he slipped away to another town to go do ministry somewhere else. So essentially, he said no to this opportunity to go to another opportunity. Any comments, observations about that? Yeah?
Because that was his plan all the way.
Okay. Okay, so even the urgent...
He didn't let it interrupt with what his true calling.
Okay, now, Jesus is a man full of compassion. So we could almost say, well, how is this compassionate? I mean, these people had genuine needs.
Well, he only had so much time on earth.
Okay.
He knew what his destiny was, you know, that amount of time, and he had to accomplish what he had to accomplish.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, a lot of times the people that were following him were looking to him for miracles, and so there's always these presentable needs before him. I mean, he could have done that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm sure. So there was times that he had to break away for prayer, other things like that. Disciples would go and find him. Oftentimes, outside of this time, they'd say, "Hey, Jesus, come," and you know, the masses are here. Basically, I mean, wherever he went, across the lake, they'd always follow him. So yeah,
I really meant more. He already had a flock.
Yes. Yes, correct. I agree with you. Yep, absolutely. And nothing was going to get him off of that plan. Yes?
I think we need to kind of look at the thing that we're wasting time on, too, because for me, I get on my computer and I play Spider Solitaire.
Okay.
Yes, it may be waste time, but for me, I go away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just mindlessly playing this stupid game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's relaxing. It reduces stress, my mm-hmm. stress level. So some of the things that we do mm-hmm. and that we're so addicted to is because we're trying to somehow heal or mm-hmm. relax from the stress.
And I don't disagree with you. I think all things in balance. I think we need outlets, you might say, and all of us have different outlets. It's when that it becomes kind of imbalanced. But I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I forgot who wrote the book, but it was years ago. It was, I feel guilty when I relax. So there is certain times that, you know, you have to busy, you know, when nothing's invading you, where you just, whether it's time of the Lord or whatever, but in this busy time, I find it myself. I could be doing something. There's something else. Yeah. I got on this list, and it's crazy.
I agree.
We are wound up.
And I was very much that way before I tanked and went into my depression and left ministry. I was very much that way. I would live guilty if I wasn't doing something. Not always being in relationship, but just doing something. That's just how my mind constantly worked. And I'll say it was unhealthy for me. So, yes.
You know, sometimes there are constraints that you can't change. For instance, if you have a flight that's going out at a certain time, and you've been cutting your neighbor's lawn, and this particular day you can't do it because you have a flight going on, so you may have to postpone it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to just set it aside because of something that you can't control.
True enough. And there are times that we have to say no to good opportunities because of our schedule that we have planned, for sure. Absolutely. All right, Dave, next one. How did Jesus determine what to say yes to and what to say no to? Next one. How can you determine what to say yes to and what to say no to? Next. Real quick, let's go through these. Just bring them up, Dave. Keep going. All right, I'll read them real quick. No is a two-edged sword. It can cut you free from entanglements you shouldn't be involved with. It can starve your soul when you function on autopilot to protect your schedule. That's the danger. You just get accustomed to saying no, 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 because I'm going to protect. You go into autopilot, and you might not even be hearing from God anymore because you're just so about protecting. So there is a balance there as well. It's possible to be so focused on saying no to protect your schedule that you actually miss God's agenda, because sometimes God's working in our lives, you guys, and we can make a plan, but God directs our steps, and we have to be open to that. So many times I've had a plan, and then I get into my plan, and God says, and these are the steps you're going to take, and you're going this way. And I could just say, no, God, this is I prayed about this already with you, and you said this. And then when you start going that way, he says, no, now you're going this way. So you have to be sensitive, that knee-jerk reaction of no, okay? Bring them up. Keep going. All right. In such cases, you're not saying no to people or opportunities. You're saying no to God himself if he's the one that's trying to nudge you. So there's that balance. Saying yes to God doesn't mean saying yes to everything. Some people think, well, does that mean I'm just going to say yes to everything? No, absolutely not. God wants you to protect that time as well. Learn to say no, but only so you can say a passionate yes to God. It gives you that opportunity. How can you know if an opportunity calling for your attention is just a good thing or a God thing? How can you know? Anybody? Go ahead, Dave, hit it. One more. I would encourage you to do something crazy. Ask God. And in both those texts, we won't go there now, but they're in your notes there. Look them up, especially James 4:2b. It says, we have not because we ask not. We have to ask God. God, like I said, this may sound crazy to you, but ask God about your schedule, about what relationships you should say yes to, what relationships you should say no to, what are the time stealers that I should get rid of, what good opportunities are in my life that I need to say no to because it gets me off focus of what God is calling me to. All right, next one. Go ahead. Should be the last one. All right, just review. Say no to time wasters. Say no to good things. Okay, next. Reflect, what did God say to you about protecting your schedule, and what are you going to do about it? Okay, I got 3 minutes. Here's my 3-minute explanation of priority relationships about Brad Reisinger, who's not here to defend himself today. That's great. So let's implement this. I'm going to give you a week schedule of Brad, okay, of what I'm talking about. Brad is a golfer, okay? Anybody know Brad? He's a golfer, okay? Does a lot of golf. Okay, so here's how he could implement what we're talking about in his weekly schedule. Sunday, done deal. Brad comes here. He worships here. He goes home. Maybe he does whatever, hanging out with his wife, gets ready for the week. Monday comes. Monday, early in the morning, it's golf day. Golf day number one is Monday morning. But he's going to set a tie that time. He's going to really focus, and it's going to be God time. So he brings his notes from the sermon from the day before, and he brings his prayer list. And from every hole, he's just swinging the club. It's a mindless activity because he's a good golfer. He's not focused on the game. He is out there, just God himself. He's praying through his list. He's going over his notes, thinking and praying about what God was talking to him about the day before through Pastor Craig's message. And he spends that time golfing that day with that exercise alone with God. We're going to say 4 hours with 18 holes. He's prayed the whole time. He's gone over his notes, spent time with God. Whatever he has planned for the rest of the day, you know, hanging out with Cindy at night, dinner, whatever, great. Tuesday comes, okay? Whatever happens, okay, Wednesday morning, it's the next golf day. Wednesday morning, okay? And he gets together with three key believers. And they go out for 18, and they are talking about the sermon on Sunday, what God's teaching them. They're praying for one another. They're sharing prayer requests. That entire 4 hours is spent encouraging one another in the faith, kind of getting together, talking about different things. Okay, see how this is going? That's how he's implementing this for on a Wednesday, okay? Wednesday night, maybe he gets together with one of those couples, and he and Cindy goes out that night, and they share dinner just as friends and as brothers and sisters in Christ, and they get together, and they're kind of discipling one another, okay? Thursday rolls around, implements whatever. Friday morning's his third golf of the week, and that is with three unbelievers that he's been praying about, just getting together, and he just wants to be a light for Christ. Maybe they never talk about God, but Brad is there to encourage them, to talk to them, to get to know them, and then Friday night, he and Cindy go out with one of those couples, and they just share life together. Do you see how implementing this kind of... Brad's already golfing. It's not like, okay, now how are we going to use that? Maybe you're Facebooking. How are you going to use that? My point is, ask and talk to God about your schedule and how you can make these priority relationships a rhythm in your life. Because I think that it's doable. It's just that we have to be proactive and we have to be intentional. So you can tell now, Brad, that I really kept him under the bus now as I gave this illustration. But just praying and thinking through a practical thing that somebody does throughout the week and how you can implement these priority relationships, I just want to say it's doable, okay, for all of us. All right, I'm going to pray, and then you guys are dismissed. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time this morning. We thank you for Jesus, who is our ultimate example. And God, we clearly see that he lived a perfect life. Lord, he was full of compassion for people, and he spent all of his time with people, with you. He spent time with key believers. He spent time with unbelievers and ministering to them. God, I pray as we reflect on our own life that you would help us to understand the rhythm that you would have for us. We all have different personalities. We all have different calendars. We're all in different seasons of our life. But God, I pray that before you, we would seek to glorify you by the way we live out our calendar. And Lord, by the way that we live out our calendar, may it be for your glory and for the good of other people. And I pray, Lord, that you would use our life to just to influence people and to impact them for your glory. And so help us, Lord, as a local Bible-believing church to do the same together. Lord, we would ask that you would use our lives for that very reason, bringing people into your kingdom, and also, Lord, challenging believers around us to live each day for you. We give it to you and we thank you for it. The things that we're considering today, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, you're dismissed. Thank you so much.